Right now, we'll hand it over to all of you out there. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays fall 6-0 to the Minnesota Twins. Mike Pelfrey just completely stymies them after they let him wriggle off the hook in the first. Bases loaded and two outs on three consecutive walks. Rajay Davis grounds out barely on a chopper to second base, and the Jays got just four base runners the rest of the way. Three of them were Meiser Esturiz. We will take the network across the country just up to the top of the hour, and then we'll have an hour-long Blue Jays talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So if you're not in the Toronto listening area, you can find us three ways: sportsnet590.ca, on your Rogers radio app, or on Rogers Digital Cable, channel 904. So stick with us, and give us a, of course, if you call and you're on hold listening to other callers, you'll be able to listen to the program as well. 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's start things off with Chris in Scarborough. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Okay, so I was very happy with the trade with Florida, and you know, I was a little bit cautious with the Dickey trade because I thought we were giving up too much for him. I know he's coming off a Cy Young season, and he had two good seasons prior to that. But Darnell, who was, I guess, regarded as a top catching prospect.
Yep.
And Syndergaard, who, I mean, this year, there's, from what I read, lots of scouts are raving about Syndergaard. And for a 38-year-old pitcher, you know, that's the one, I think, two or three years down the line. I mean, unless we make the playoffs, I think that this is the trade I think we're going to look back on and say, you know, Alex made a big mistake on that one.
Well, I hope not. I mean, I know it's very easy to get very excited about prospects, but you know, Travis Darno is an excellent catching prospect. There's no question about that. He has been hurt each of the last 3 or 4 years, and again this year, and who knows what's going to come of him. And Noah Syndergaard, fantastic prospect as well, who's had two starts above A-ball. So we don't know what's going to happen with these guys. And the attrition rate of prospects is pretty ridiculous. You know, well over half of them fail no matter how highly they're touted. And a lot of the great ones come out of nowhere, guys who've never, you know, nobody ever really pays much attention to them. Look, it's a couple of very, very good, talented young players to give up. But you're giving them up for a guy who just won the Cy Young Award, and like you said, it had his third really good season in a row. There was those guys cost a lot to get. And unfortunately, Dickey's had a disappointing half season, but he's still got 2.5 years left on his contract. And again, we know that there's a lot more in him. We've seen it, especially this last month. I have a hard time regretting a trade that at the time, with all the information that you had available, looked like the right thing to do. And, you know, you're talking about the two guys that have been that you gave up in the trade still haven't got 1 second of time in the major leagues. So I think it's a little, I mean, it's okay to be disappointed in Dickey. He's been disappointing. He's had some terrific starts, but not nearly enough. And today was a seventh start already this season where he's given up at least 6 runs. So, yeah, very disappointing season for R.A. Dickey to this point. But, again, two guys the Jays gave up have not yet played a second in the major leagues, and we have no idea what they're going to be, if they're going to be anything. Not fair to go to another call right here because we just don't have enough time, but we will carry over again to our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, to sportsnet590.ca, Rogers Radio app, and Rogers Digital Cable Channel 904. The kids are running the bases, and Dustin McGowan was running them too with his infant daughter, and nobody noticed. He's just in there with the crowd, with everybody else. Nobody saying hi or anything. anonymity for Dustin McGowan on the field with the Blue Jays as he walks now into the dugout, and a couple of people in the stands say hello to him, so that's nice at least. Blue Jays lose it 6-0 to the Minnesota Twins. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. It is the Honda Post Game Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Tough day for the Blue Jays. They lose it 6-0 to the Minnesota Twins. R.A. Dickey gives up 6 runs for the 7th time this season. At least 6 runs, that is, for the 7th time this season. And the Jays get just slammed by Mike Pelfrey, who's having a terrible year to this point. Quick check of the scoreboard, see what else is going on. The New York Yankees have a 5-4 lead over the Baltimore Orioles as they play in the top of the 8th. The difference right now is an RBI single by Eduardo Nunez. It's Oakland over the Kansas City Royals, 3-2. Josh Donaldson has driven in a couple of the Oakland runs with an RBI single and with his 15th home run of the season. Over in the National League, the Miami Marlins lead the St. Louis Cardinals 4-2 in the top of the 7th. Logan Morrison and Derek Dietrich have gone deep for the Fish, and Adani Echevarria has an RBI single there as well. The series wraps up tomorrow. The Blue Jays and Twins will play the rubber match, and Todd Redmond will get the start for Toronto. He'll make his first start as a Blue Jay and only his second in the major leagues. He's up against lefty Scott Diamond, a native of Guelph, who is 5-7 with an ERA over 5. We're on the air at 12:30 p.m. Eastern for a 107 first pitch. Please join us then. We'll keep the Blue Jays talk going on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howarth, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Gord Brunt, I'm Mike Wilner. Good afternoon from Rogers Center.
Two pitch, line, fair down the left field line. That's a base hit. That's going to cash in Escobar. Carroll goes to second base. He's got an RBI. The Twins lead 2-0, and Jamie's 17 hit shy now of 1,000.
Jamie Carroll's RBI double in the third, followed by a little looping single by Joe Mauer that scored him. That made it 3-0 Twins, and then Brian Dozier hit a 3-run homer in the 7th. Minnesota beats the Blue Jays, the final score, 6-0. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. As you just heard from Kayla Harris, we have more baseball on the way for you later here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. At 7 o'clock, the Buffalo Bisons and the Syracuse Chiefs. Thadrick Weber on the mound for Buffalo. Ben Weber with the call, so make sure you tune in for that. And as you also heard from Kayla, the All-Star Selection Show on Sportsnet Television at 6:30. Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion with good shots at making the All-Star team, and got to kind of hope Brett Cecil does too. The rules have changed, where it used to be the fans voted in the starters and then the manager picked everybody else. Doesn't work that way anymore. The fans now vote in the starters, and there's a player's ballot, and the players select the first backups at every position. Whoever finishes first in the players' ballot also goes to the All-Star team. And if the fans and players agree, then whoever finishes second on the players' ballot goes to the All-Star team. And I have a feeling that's how Edwin Encarnacion is going to get in. And hopefully Jose Bautista finishes in the top six if he doesn't finish in the top three in the fan voting. And he was third at the last update this week. Players also vote for some of the pitchers, and then there are like three or four spots left for the manager to decide on, but it's no longer his sole decision like it used to be. Now it's a manager and a committee with the commissioner's office that sit down and hammer out who else goes. So here's hoping they consider Brett Cecil. It would be great if he made it to the All-Star team. I actually spoke to him before the game, and we'll get a chance to hear what Brett Cecil had to say a little later on in the show. And we'll find out at 6:30 who makes it to the All-Star game. feel free to weigh in with your thoughts as to who will be, who should be an all-star from the Blue Jays and who should not. Again, we'll find out in 2.5 hours. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's go out to Paisley, Scotland, listening on sportsnet590.ca. Phil, you're on the Blue Jays talk.
Hello, Mike. Good evening. Pleasure to speak to you again. Well, it's evening here anyway. Brett Zietl, basically, to answer that last question. I mean, he's just been the comeback player of the year, apart from Adam Lind, of course. But Cecil's just been phenomenal. And seeing him last year, just the distress that he was going through at some points during the season, just struggling. It's fantastic to see the resurgence that he's made this year. So, yeah, I'd say Cecil. That would be my guess. Just a couple of quick questions for you, if that's all right. I phoned up last September and spoke to you and asked what you thought Alex Anthopoulos' 3-year report card should read like at the end of last season, having gone 3 years. And I'd like to put you in Alex Anthopoulos' shoes again right now, and just 3.5 years in, what if you were Alex Anthopoulos, what would be your biggest regret right now? What move would you like to take back if you could? What hasn't worked out as well as you might have thought? And I'm not really talking about the big trades last year, because, you know, we all loved them at the time. We can't hide from that. We can't argue. We all love them. We're all excited about them. One or two of them haven't worked out as well as we might have liked, but that's life. But just all the moves that Alex Anthopoulos has made in the last 3.5 years, what do you think would be his biggest regret right now?
Wow, all the moves, huh? That's, I'm going to miss something. Honestly, I think they were all very good at the time. I don't know. What would he like to have back? He has said that the move he wants to have back is not going a little harder on Aroldis Chapman and allowing Cincinnati to outbid them. But, you know, the way the Blue Jays bullpen has performed, you really can't complain about that. Travis Snyder for Brad Lincoln was one that hasn't worked out the way the Blue Jays had hoped, but Snyder was going to be in tough to make this team out of options this spring. And, well, what would he have cost? Maybe you don't bring in a Bonifacio or something like that if you have Travis here. I mean, that's, again, I don't know. That's one that I didn't love, and that I think you have a player with a ton of potential there, but he would have been sitting on the bench in the major leagues all year this year. Maybe the regret is not trading Travis 2 years earlier when you could have gotten a heck of a lot more for him. If it was going to wind up the way it wound up. But there are a lot of regrets as far as Travis Snyder is concerned. But one move that Alex would like to have back, I don't know. Nothing really jumps out at me as a move where you're really kicking yourself for making. Now, maybe there were a few that he's kicking himself for not making that we don't know about. Certainly a possibility. And there's a chance that I've forgotten something, and I'm sure people will remind me either here or on Twitter. But someone on Twitter just said Aaron Hill, but Aaron Hill was a free agent at the end of the season, and Kelly Johnson was supposed to get them a first-round draft pick, and Kelly Johnson was a much better offensive performer than Aaron Hill over the last few years before that trade. So, no, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that trade. Hill was going to be gone in 6 weeks anyway. So, no, I can't think of one that really jumps out other than maybe not dealing Snyder sooner if you were going to trade him anyway. If you were still there, I would ask you what your biggest regret was, but I see that you're not. Sorry about that. I said that Ben Weber has the call. Ben Weber, of course, former Los Angeles Angel of Anaheim, former Toronto Blue Jay with the weird look and the funky delivery. Ben Weber is not going to do play-by-play for the Buffalo Bisons, though that would be cool. Ben Wagner is going to do play-by-play for the Buffalo Bisons, and you can follow him on Twitter at BenWag247. The Bisons and Thad Weber against the Syracuse Chiefs tonight at 7 o'clock right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Sorry about that, Ben. Jay in Kingston, you're up next on the Blue Jays Talk. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. You know, the disappointing thing about today was, I mean, well, overall the season's been disappointing.
Yep.
The Yankees were playing the Twins last week, and they had lost, I think, five or six games in a row. And they go into Minnesota, and they swept the Twins. They went four straight.
Yep.
They beat Baltimore yesterday. They're beating them again today.
Yes.
And I think the difference, like, it just seems like to me for some reason, like, obviously we had atrocious at-bats. It's easy to get on Dickey, but I think other than two innings, Dickey did pitch a pretty solid game. He just had, you know, two bad lapses, which has happened too much. But I just want to point out, like, how do the Yankees do it? Like, Mike, I don't know if you can answer this question, but, like, they really have so many injuries and so many problems, and every time it seems like, you know, this is the time that they're going to get on that losing streak and go under 500, and maybe, you know, that might open a door up for us and other teams in the division. It just seems like somehow they pull themselves out of it, and they stay afloat. And I really think Joe Girardi, if the Yankees can get in this year even for one wild card game, I think Joe Girardi has to be the manager of the year. Like, with all the problems the Yankees have and with the team that they have, their starting pitching's been, you know, okay. With just CC and, you know, basically Andy Pettit's had a horrible year according to his standards. And then with all the missing parts that they've put in, I mean, it's really disappointing to see how we're struggling so much with basically we've had injuries too, but I don't think we've had as much injuries as other teams. And with the talent level that we have, and we're struggling so hard to get over 500 and maybe stay around there, while the teams like the Yankees, the Tampa Bay Rays, for instance, their team isn't as good as last year's, and, you know, teams in our division, it just seems like, I wouldn't be shocked if we finished last this year in the division.
Well, they're last right now in the division. It's frustrating. It is. It certainly is frustrating. You can't blame it on injuries because you're right. The New York Yankees have had some pretty devastating injuries themselves. The Blue Jays have had some awfully bad ones. Morrow, Johnson, Lurie, Reyes. Some pretty horrible injuries. But the Yankees have been without Derek Jeter and Alex Rodriguez all season. Curtis Granderson almost all season. Mark Teixeira almost all season. Maybe the difference is that the Blue Jays injuries, a couple of big ones are in the starting rotation. But again, the Yankees have gotten by with David Phelps in the rotation for a lot of this year. And you can't say, hey, they're beat up, even though they are, because the Yankees are beat up too. And the Yankees seem to keep winning. And I don't know how they do it. I really don't. Most people picked the Yankees to finish fourth or fifth in the American League East this year. A lot of people said they were the worst team, one of the worst teams in the league besides Houston, and they were going to lose 100 games. And I remember saying in spring training that I've wanted to write the Yankees off like each of the last 6 years, and they've always either been in the playoffs or made it awfully close. So I was very, very reluctant to say that the Yankees are going to have a terrible season, but all signs certainly pointed to it. And yet here they are. Like you said, they had lost, I think, five in a row, and now they're about to win their sixth straight with a sweep of the Minnesota Twins. And now they're leading the Orioles 5-4 in the ninth, and Mariano Rivera is in the game, and so that generally means that the Yankees are going to win. I don't know. I can't explain it. I really can't.
Mike, just a quick point. I just wanted to ask you this.
Sure.
Do you think, like, in terms of our market, like, you know, obviously Alex made all these trades, and I love what Alex did, like, in the offseason. Everybody got excited and stuff. But when you look at teams like, you know, Oakland, for instance, that they've been competitive almost every year, and the way Billy Beane does
that
whole
concept.
They
really haven't. They really haven't. They've been competitive the last year, actually. The last calendar year. And four or five before that, they were not good at all.
Right. But, I mean, at least, you know, they got a taste last year, and the way they made it in last year, and even this year, it looks like with all the prospects that they have that always come up, and the way Billy Beane does business there, do you think it's better if we go that route, or is it better for us to go through this route where we get players like, you know, how we got through trades and then we signed a few free agents and things like that? Like, what do you think? Do you think what they're doing in Oakland is, like, how would you, you know?
I don't know that there is a better way to put a team together. I know that there are people who say, oh, you have to build through the draft, and you're not going to be any good unless you build through the draft. And I don't believe that at all. I think, you know, every year of your draft, if you get two big leaguers out of one draft, you've had a great draft. And we're talking about 40 rounds. So I mentioned it before, the rate of attrition of baseball prospects is just ridiculous. So I don't think you can build through the draft. I think it's part of something and it helps. But I think also a lot of your prospects, and I said this last night, never, ever, ever have more value than they have before they get to the major leagues. So a lot of their best use is as trade chips. And that's what the Blue Jays did this offseason in picking up Reyes and Burley and Josh Johnson and Bonifacio and Dickey, is use those great prospects as trade chips. So I think you have to combine everything and you have to do your best to get as many good players as you possibly can, build as much talent as you can, and hope for the best. And that's what the Blue Jays did this year.
Why does Tampa, like, how can they produce so many homegrown pitchers than any other organization that I see? Like, well, St. Louis is a good example too, but like, how does Tampa Bay do that? Can you just answer that quick one for me?
Yeah, no, I can't. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, Matt Moore was a late-round draft pick. Jeremy Hellickson was a late-round draft pick. David Price, first overall, fine. You're going to get that. But I don't know. But I hope other teams can find out and do the same thing, because that would be awfully swell. Thank you, Jay. I want to get to some other people, but I do certainly appreciate the call. Blue Jays lose it 6-0 to the Minnesota Twins. Before we step away for another 20 update from Kayla Harris, and we will have more of your calls on the other side all the way to 5 o'clock Eastern time, let's give a listen to John Gibbons. Hear what the Blue Jays skipper had to say in the wake of this afternoon's 6-0 shutout at the hands of the Minnesota Twins.
Gibby, between Reyes getting picked off and then all those walks in the first inning, was that a case of Pelfrey being let off the hook a little bit?
Well, we had the pressure on him there and came up empty. And he was scattering it there early on, then he settled in. And Dickey, I mean, you know, they scored those three runs at one inning, then he pretty much held them in check until the big three-run homer late. But, you know, we couldn't get anything going. I mean, that's the bottom line. But we had that opportunity. It was really only opportunity in the first. Came up empty, yeah.
Gibby, it seems that whenever your team has a chance to score runs early against a starting pitcher and they can't seem to do so, that they have trouble clicking the rest of the game. Is that what you've seen as well?
No, not really. Give me the facts if that bears out. But I have seen a lot where you score a lot of runs early and then, you know, guy settles in and you don't score much late. So, I mean, you never know. At baseball, I mean, different things happen different nights, you know. There's a number of games where you have, you know, few opportunities, not many. And if you come up empty, that's generally the way it goes, you know. So, but, yeah, that was our one shot, really. And like I said, you know, they scored those three off Dickey. I think it was the third. And then it was one of those games where we're in striking distance until the home run late.
John, what did you see from RA today? And more generally, is the starting rotation getting to be a concern as far as what the production has been?
No, it's not a concern, but I thought he pitched very good. You know, they threw some hits out there to score those three early. And then he was in control. He got a little bit of trouble there at the end. And then, you know, of course, you know, the home run balls, that's what happens with homers, you know. Guaranteed runs. So, but I mean, we didn't score in anyway, so. But no, I mean, this is our rotation. We like it. You know, you ride it out, and we think they're going to pitch good the rest of the way out. We really do.
I certainly hope so, and the Blue Jays need better from Josh Johnson. They need more consistent from R.A. Dickey. Mark Burley has been the shining light of this rotation, and Esmiel Rogers, other than his last start, has been phenomenal as well, and the auditioning process for the fifth spot continues as Todd Redman makes the start for the Blue Jays tomorrow. More of your phone calls coming up. Blue Jays lose it 6-0 to the Minnesota Twins. Lines are open at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. It is the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
He had one last night. He gets his lead. And they have him picked off. A throw to first base. Morneau tags him out. Reyes took a quick step, and he was
fooled.
In no man's land.
He was fooled, yeah. He knew it. He didn't even make an attempt to run.
I believe the word they were looking for there was meatcake. Jose Reyes, absolute meatcake in the first inning, picked off by Mike Pelfrey after having reached on an error. He had made that little feint towards second base just as Pelfrey threw over, and he knew he was done. Then Jose Bautista flied out, and then three straight Blue Jays walked, but Rajay Davis grounded out to let Mike Pelfrey off the hook. And Pelfrey went on to throw six innings of three-hit shutout. The Twins beat the Blue Jays 6-0. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. John is in Santa Barbara, California. Welcome to the program, John.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling.
I used to live in Toronto. Now I live down here, but I still follow.
So glad to hear it.
In regards to the comments from the gentleman in Scotland about the biggest regrets,
yeah,
I think you have to maybe throw, although I'll admit, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't know about this. You know, there could have been many things over the years that Anthopoulos could have done that we just don't know about.
Right.
But publicly, at least, the Darvish kind of saga, in terms of the results that Darvish has produced since he's been in the MLB, I mean, you know, it's looking like a steal for the Rangers.
Oh, do you think so, though? I mean, Darvish has been very, very good this year, and he was fine last year, though not exceptional, I don't think. He strikes out a ton of people. He's been terrific this year and fine last year. But is that worth what they paid for him? 6 years and $20 million a year. More than $20 million a year.
It sort of depends how you want to value, you know, how difficult you think it is to keep guys in Toronto. You know, you always hear people talk about, oh, guys don't want to play on the turf or they don't want to sign in Canada because of, you know, maybe tax issues or whatever.
Now, only the dumb guys talk about the tax issues in Canada because there really is no difference. But when it comes down to it, and turf, I don't think is an issue for pitchers. But when you're talking about, I mean, making a guy who's never pitched in North America gambling to make him one of the highest paid pitchers in the game. And I know his salary doesn't reflect it, but I'm including the posting fee. That's a pretty big gamble. And I don't know if he's been worth it yet. And he's still got four more years to run at a bucket load of money.
Sure.
I think what Alex Anthopoulos did with Yu Darvish was he determined immediately, this is how much I want to pay for this guy. This is how much I'm willing to gamble. And that was all he was willing to offer. And the Rangers blew them out of the water.
I think regarding the comments you made about the draft, I think you're right in that the draft is really for getting trade chips. But you also have to really gather your impact kind of guys through the draft. I mean, you can't really get guys like Matt Harvey or Evan Longoria through trade unless you gamble very early when they're, you know, down in low A ball or something.
Absolutely true. And then you have to overpay for the most part when that
right.
happens.
Right. And, you know, you get into Pujols territory with that contract.
Yep.
Anyway, my question was about sort of at what point does a starter become unplayable? We saw at a certain point the Jays were just unwilling to run Romero out there anymore. And they said, okay, you know, we got to change something. You know, we can't have this guy in a major league mound. So
right.
When, in your opinion, can you not run a guy out there anymore?
Well, I think Chen Ming Wong was a brilliant example of that. You know, the guy gave up six runs in the second inning in one start, seven runs in the second inning in another start. That's time to say goodbye. When someone consistently can't get people out, when someone walking the house, driving up pitch counts, making you go to your bullpen early all the time, I don't think there's one specific thing that one does to say, okay, that's it, we can't run them out there anymore. But those kinds of things, I think, are the things that make you take guys out of the rotation.
Right. So if Dickey had, you know, let's say he was consistently doing 3 innings and 6 runs instead of roughly 6 innings and 6 runs or so.
Well, if your idea is that he's consistently allowing 6 runs and 6 innings, that's incorrect. First of all, this is the guy who leads the team in wins, and wins are what they are. But R.A. Dickey, well, let's take a look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of his last... 1, 2, 3, 4. 7 of his last 12 starts, he's allowed 2 earned runs or fewer. So, I mean, the very idea that he's pitching himself out of a job, it kind of borders on ludicrosity, I would think.
Okay, just wanted to hear your opinion.
Okay, well, there you go. I appreciate the call, especially all the way from out there in California. Dickey was terrific in 3 of his last 4 starts going into today's game. After having gone good start, bad start for a while, I kind of thought he had righted the ship, but if he goes good start, bad start, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, but you expect more from your ace. You do. From the West Coast, we go to the East Coast. Melissa is in St. John, New Brunswick. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you. I was just wondering what you think has been the greatest contributor to the Blue Jays' inconsistency this year and why.
I wish I knew. You know what? If I did, then I'd be down there running the show or in the front office. The starting pitching hasn't been good enough for the most part, and that's been the issue. When they've been losing because their starting pitching has been terrible far more often than not. Which is crazy because everyone expected that their starting pitching was going to be terrific this season.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. The inconsistency of Dickey, the fact that Josh Johnson has, when he's been out there, more often than not, just not been good enough. You know, it's July 9th, and Todd Redmond is in the starting rotation. And so is Esmail Rogers. That's been the Blue Jays' problem this year. Brendan is in Thornhill. Brendan, you're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike, thanks. I just had a two-part question about the All-Star Selection Show tonight. And I think it's pretty obvious that Jose Bautista and Edwin will be All-Stars. I just want to hear if you think, I think based on what you said earlier, that Brett Cecil has a good shot at being an All-Star, or at least a final vote candidate around the MLB. I was also wondering if you think Casey Jansen will be an All-Star. Do you think Jansen has a legitimate shot?
No. I mean, I think he's having a legitimate All-Star year, and so is Cecil, and so Steve Delabar, for that matter. But, I mean, you have to understand that the Blue Jays are a last-place team, and last-place teams tend not to get multiple All-Stars, even when they're deserving. And I think... what may keep Brett Cecil off the All-Star team is Edwin Encarnacion getting on if he does, and Jose Bautista, and they're going to say to themselves, really, can we put 3 Blue Jays on the All-Star team when they're in last place in their division? So I think that's really, really going to hurt Brett Cecil. I hope he does make it on. He hopes he does. If he doesn't, he has wonderful contingency plans because the Blue Jays are in Baltimore before the break, and he's from Maryland. But I think the biggest thing working against him is the fact that the Blue Jays are in last place.
Okay, well, hopefully we can see him as a final vote candidate tonight. I guess we'll find out later. But my other question was, what other All-Stars do you have from around the MLB that are maybe considered a little less known, like not big-name stars? Like, I have Jeff Locke, who will probably be an All-Star. He's 8-1 with a 2.12 ERA. Gene Segura has come out of nowhere on Milwaukee. And Josh Donaldson's actually having a really good year in Oakland. I'm just wondering if any of those 3 guys I mentioned or anybody else who's a little lesser known that people may not know around the MLB will be All-Stars, kind of like those guys.
You know what? I have to tell you, I really have not been paying any attention to those kinds of debates and those kinds of things, and the, you know, there's going to be an All-Star snub list that comes out today, and there'll be a couple after that, but honestly, I have been so consumed by what goes on with the Blue Jays, and by doing that, I have really let that slip. I couldn't tell you who I think should be. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem, Mike. All right, have a great day, and hopefully Twitter isn't too harsh on you for the rest of today.
Thanks. I would love to see Yasiel Puig be an All-Star, by the way. I want to throw that out there. I think, well, the All-Star game is all kinds of messed up anyway. It's either an exhibition for the fans or it's something that gives you home field advantage in the World Series. For some reason, Major League Baseball has made it both, but it can't be both. And it's silly that it's both. I think fans want to see Yasiel Puig. I want to see Yasiel Puig. And I think he should be an All-Star. And we're going to see him the week after the All-Star break when the Dodgers come to town, which is going to be great. But even though he's only been in the big leagues for a month, I'd be very, very comfortable having him on the All-Star team. And again, All-Stars will be announced today. Full rosters of both teams, American League and National League, will be announced today at 6:30, and you can watch it on Sportsnet. And then when it's finished, come back here to Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and you can listen to the Buffalo Bisons and the Syracuse Chiefs with Ben Wagner on the call, Thadrick Weber on the mound, see what the Blue Jays of the future are doing, and perhaps in some cases of the near future. Kevin Pillar is lighting it up in the outfield down there. We will take more of your phone calls. On the other side, we have lines open at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Which Blue Jays do you think should be All-Stars? And somebody asked me what I thought Alex Anthopoulos' biggest regret is. It seems that the Twitter sphere has decided that it was trading Mike Napoli for Frank Francisco right after the Vernon Wells trade. But I really think that Alex had a good thought process for doing that. And truth be told, Mike Napoli has only had one good year as a full-time catcher in the major leagues. And it was just happened to be the year after the Blue Jays traded him to the Texas Rangers. But I think Alex wanted to try to develop J.P. Arencibian, give him that opportunity. I think he wanted the draft pick a year sooner. And I think he thought the Blue Jays were still a couple of years away from being competitive. And he was right on all counts. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Before we go to Kayla Harris for the update, and we will have more of your phone calls on the other side, I did speak to Brett Cecil before the game, since we're talking All-Star selection, about his thoughts on possibly being selected to the All-Star game. Brett, the All-Star results are coming out after the game tonight, and ESPN did a poll of its writers, and six of their eight guys had you on it. There seems to be a lot of buzz about you getting the All-Star nod for what you've done out of the bullpen. Are you excited about this? Are you anticipating anything?
I'm anticipating nothing. My plans are to, after Baltimore, stay in Maryland and enjoy seeing my family for those 4 days. That's it. I promised my niece I'd take her to lunch and a movie, so I'm looking forward to that.
If you do get the call, how stunned, excited, shocked, surprised would you be?
Very, just because everybody knows how difficult it is for, you know, a middle late reliever other than a closer. Everybody knows how hard it is for those guys to make it. If I do make it, I mean, I'm not gonna downplay it at all. I'll be really excited. But like I said, I'm not banking on anything, and I won't be disappointed if I don't make it. I'll be really excited if I do, for sure.
And we'll find out in a couple of hours on Sportsnet Television, the 6:30 All-Star Selection Show, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 Pacific, and, 8:30 Central and Mountain. Why not? More of your phone calls coming up, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays talk continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
That comes R.A. The ball lined to left center field. That's another base hit and another run. Over to cut it off in the gap is Rasmus. Maurer goes the other way, which he does so often in his career, and the Twins go out in front 3-0 as here's pitching coach Pete Walker to the mound.
Of course, what are you going to tell a knuckleballer? But whatever Pete Walker said worked, because after that Joe Mauer RBI single in the third, R.A. Dickey didn't give up another hit until the seventh inning. Of course, the Blue Jays, between the third and the seventh, only managed 2 singles. And they got shut out by the Minnesota Twins 2-0. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Really was a tale of two Dickies today. If you split this outing up into two different pitching lines, one would read 5 innings, 1 hit shutout with 1 walk and 3 strikeouts. The other would read 2 innings, 6 hits, 6 runs all earned, 1 walk, no strikeouts, and a home run. So R.A. Dickey, 2 terrible innings, and the Blue Jays, beyond Meister Estures, really didn't get a hit. They only got 1. It was an infield single by Rajay Davis, and replays showed he was out. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls for one more segment. We go to Alan in Toronto. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I got another ball. I was sitting in section 115, row 37, and Encarnacion and went to the opposite field and hit one right in front of us. So,
congratulations.
And I guess Reyes was caught napping, wasn't he? You know, there was absolutely no resistance whatsoever. I at least would have taken a few steps and get caught in the rundown. Now, 99 times out of 100, you're caught in the rundown, but at least make him work for that out. You know, I grew up, my dad kept telling me, nothing's for nothing in this world. If you want something, you're going to have to earn it. You're not going to get it as a gift. And they got it as a gift. It's too bad.
I don't know. I mean, he was leaning towards second. He was going to go. And that's the exact point at which Pelphrey threw over. So he was done no matter what he did. And sometimes discretion is the better part of valor. And instead of getting in a rundown and maybe twisting that ankle again, he just took his punishment. So there you go. Yeah.
And Bautista came very close to gunning down Brian Dozier. Dozier is known for his speed, too. Bautista, it shows you what kind of arm he has. You know, have you seen something like that where a right fielder throws out a guy trying to get the first?
Yeah, I've seen Larry Walker do it a couple of times. He did it generally with pitchers running. I've seen people attempt it. I love it. I think it's a phenomenal play. And Dozier was busting it out of the batter's box and barely beat that throw. Jose's got a great arm, and Edwin was there ready for it. I've seen them think about doing it before. I've seen Bautista want to do it a time or two. The first baseman not been at the bag, but I think that's a phenomenal play. I love it.
Now, you're not going to get to it. It's not going to happen too much with a power hitter. I saw it happen once with Kent Herbick in Minnesota, but that's rare because don't forget the outfield is playing deep in a situation like that, and you're going to have to really gun it. So it's most likely going to be somebody that's is not known for their power but known for their speed.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate the call. That was very, very cool on the first play of the game where Jose Bautista tried to throw out Brian Dozier at first. It didn't quite work. Richard is in Whitby. You're up next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Good afternoon, Mike. Thanks Hello. For taking my phone call today.
Thanks for calling.
I know you're not one for talking about potential trades, and I think we know Mr. Antropoulos is reputation that if you hear about it, it probably isn't going to happen.
Right.
But I've heard that the Jays are interested in Matt Garza. If I'm not mistaken, he's still playing with Chicago this year.
Yep.
What do you think the Jays would have to do in order to acquire him?
I think they'd have to give up a lot.
They'd probably have to give up a lot, I would think.
Yes.
Why do they want to get rid of him so bad? Because I remember whenever we went to Tampa, and Garza pitched like it was...
Yeah, Garza was phenomenal. I mean, I think he was like 6-6 against the Jays, but he had an ERA under 2, and he was great.
Just seeing him in the prospective pitchers, you knew if he was going to be pitching, it'd be brutal.
Yeah, it was always going to be a tough day, for sure, although, again, they beat him as often as they lost to him, but he did pitch very well. The reason that the Chicago Cubs are thinking about moving him is because he's a free agent at the end of the season and the Cubs are not in a race. And unless they want to pay Matt Garza $14 million next season, or offer it to him, they're going to lose him for nothing anyway. And they want to get something back while they can, or they want to get more than the potential value of the first-round pick that they could get if they qualify him and he leaves. But again, I mean, you look at the trade they just made this week, the Chicago Cubs. They traded Scott Feldman, who is a guy who's having a very good year this year, but who's had an ERA under 5 in the American League once in the last 5 years.
Wow.
And they got two very, very good major league arms, still potential arms, but you know, guys who haven't been great yet, but very, very good arms, and guys who've pitched in the major leagues, and that's what they got for him. So the price for Garza will be much higher.
Good. So it's going to be tough go if they want to try to acquire Garza. Well, you were asking previously about maybe trades that fans had disappointment in that were made. Well, I can't say I'm completely disappointed, because in the trade that they sent, I think it was Jason Frazier and Zach Stewart to Chicago, and it was a three-way deal. I think they got Edwin Jackson in return, and they packaged him up, and they sent him to St. Louis with Dontrell Dotel. They ended up getting Colby Rasmus in that whole deal, if I remember correctly. So
yeah, for basically Jason Frazier, Zach Stewart, Octavio Dotel, and Mark Zepchinski.
Right. Well, I don't know what Shepsinski's been doing this year. I knew he was pretty good in the year that St. Louis ended up winning the series, and even Dotel was pretty good. But Edwin Jackson, like, I know he's moved around a lot.
Yeah, but they didn't really have Edwin Jackson. I mean, he doesn't kind of count.
And Napoli, they never really had. They did.
They had
but he
Napoli.
Never played a game, right?
Right.
He never played a game.
But Edwin Jackson was only used to make the trade happen, the Blue Jays.
Right.
He was never a Blue Jay.
Well, I don't know. He's still around. I think he was in Washington a couple years ago. I don't even know if he's still playing or not. But
he's pitching for
the
Cubs.
He was kind of a wild-throwing kind of dude that always seemed to entertain anyway.
Edwin Jackson?
Yeah, he was kind of an entertaining guy, because you never knew where it was going to go.
Yeah, that's not really conducive to winning, though.
Well, that's true. But I remember, though, when I remember seeing him play, though, he seemed to be he seemed to have a lot of potential. I don't know if he ever
really
realized
it. Oh, he has a great arm. He has a great arm, and he's had a good year or two. But he's not having a good year right now, and he's still very young. But again, he was a free agent in the offseason, so everybody could have had him. But you can't. I have trouble with saying that, you know, dealing Edwin Jackson is a regret, because again, if the Blue Jays, if they weren't trying to trade for Colby Rasmus, they never would have gotten Edwin Jackson.
That's
so,
the truth. And
yeah.
And Colby, he hasn't realized it yet, but if he could just cut down those strikeouts and make some more, connection with the ball, I think we'd be happier with his performance, that's for sure.
Fair enough. Thank you, Richard. I appreciate the call. Mike is in Oakville. Blue Jays lose it 6-0 to the Twins today. Welcome to the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thanks, Mike. My thing is just this. I'm saying there's no one can deny that we've got some great talent on this club.
Correct.
And that over a season, usually the cream will rise to the top.
Usually, yes.
So my question to you, and the season is by no means over.
Right.
Is you're around the team a bit. Do you think maybe the guys are just, you know, with the fair weather fans and the crap in the media and stuff, do you think that perhaps the guys are putting too much pressure on themselves to do too much, instead of just letting their talent, trusting it, and letting that do the work, and having some fun playing the game?
No, if that's happening, it's not because of the Fairweather fans and the callers on this show and the media or anything like that. If they're putting too much pressure on themselves, it's because the team's under 500 and struggling and really hasn't hit its stride except for that 11-game win streak, and so everyone, you know, wants to be the guy who makes things happen, wants to be the one who drives in that big run, and maybe they're pressing a little bit, but I don't really see that all that much. I think that it's very easy to forget that Adam Lind and Edwin Encarnacion are both playing hurt. Jose Reyes wasn't here for 2.5 months, and the rest of you can only have guys like Meiser Asturiz and Rajay Davis carry a team for so long.
True.
Yeah, and that's what's gone on now. I mean, people were furious about losing 3 out of 4 to the Detroit Tigers, but you know, the first two games, they didn't have Lind or Encarnacion. The last two, they had half a Lind, and they were facing Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. What'd you expect?
Exactly. And the other side of that, too, we still got some pitching injuries, and Santos is rehabbing, and Laurie's coming back. So, you know, it's not the exact team that we fielded at opening day either. Right.
No, by no means. But you know what? There are a lot of teams that don't have the teams that they put on the field on opening day, and most of those teams are doing better than the Blue Jays are. And I think that's why a lot of the frustration is here.
Well, I'm frustrated as well. But, I mean, it doesn't help to go, you know, crank on guys when they're out there doing their best. I mean, they don't want to go out there and lose any more than we want them to lose, right?
Absolutely. In fact, less.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm just wondering, I guess we need that magic formula. Like you were talking with that other caller about the fact that no matter what happens to the Yankees, no matter how decimated their lineup is, they find a way to win. I think that we'll find that stride, too, given a little bit more time and some of these guys coming back.
It would be nice. We're all waiting to see it, that's for sure.
And I think Colby Rasmus was the best today. We call him the cheese monk. We think he's the best.
Sorry, that's my...
All right, thank you. A little guest appearance on Mike and Oakville's call. Appreciate it. The Blue Jays lose 6-0 to the Minnesota Twins. Time for one more. Sean in Toronto, welcome aboard.
Hi, Mike. Nice to be on board. I'm actually visiting from Ottawa. I went to pretty much every game this week. It's been pretty fun, except for maybe the record. But I just have a question about, have you heard much about Melky Cabrera and how he's doing and how he's feeling and so forth?
He ran yesterday or the day before. He's been taking batting practice every day. He's still with the team. So, you know, there's a potential that he could come off the disabled list before the All-Star break. But I think, you know, if you leave him on an extra 2 or 3 days, he gets a whole extra week because of the break. So I would be surprised if they activated Melky before the end of the All-Star break. But he's here and he's hitting, and apparently he started to run. So, you know, it's never going to be all the way back, but or at least not until the off-season, I don't think. But if he can get back to running the way he was even 3 weeks ago, they're better off than where they are now, I think.
Yeah, and I just want to comment. I was sitting watching the games. Some Detroit Tiger fans were behind me, and they were quite impressed with the amount of our relievers that kept coming out to pitch in those games. And, you know, I think that Gibbons has done an amazing job in being able to place those pitchers in those key situations to be successful. And they said coming in that that was one of his strengths, and he's been unbelievable. Because a lot of, like, the American media were saying that would be our weakness, our bullpen, and it's been our strongest asset.
Yeah, and the most important thing that a manager does is run a bullpen. I mean, you can only do so much in the game, and I know people want a manager who bunts all the time or hits and runs and all this stuff, but really, the one thing that a manager can control is how he runs his bullpen. He can send a pinch hitter up there, and it can be the right guy in the right spot, and he'll still get out. Now, granted, you can do that with a reliever, too, and he'll still give up a big hit, but that's the most control that a manager has on a team, is running a bullpen, and John Gibbons is fantastic at that. And the Blue Jays have put together a fantastic bullpen. Hopefully they don't need it that much tomorrow. The rubber game, Todd Redmond against Scott Diamond of Guelph, Ontario. Join us 12:30 p.m. Eastern for a 107 first pitch. And listen to the Bisons at 7.